going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
1 o'clock hour. It's a Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 1 hour to go till the weekend. We got two rounds of the NFL draft, of course, this evening, plus Royals baseball. They begin a series against the Astros out at Kauffman Stadium. Vern's on deck show tonight at 5:30. Our guest today in the Fan Club, one Josh Briscoe, one of our Chiefs contributors here on the station. Obviously going to talk plenty about the draft and everything, but what's up, man? How was draft for you last night? Did you just kind of lay low? Did you put in a bunch of bets? How do you take in the draft?
I enjoyed the draft from my couch in my basement for, I think, the first time ever, at least the first time in a decade, maybe. So I had a really good time, and I had a very stressful few, I would say maybe 6 to 8 minutes of thinking, oh, man, is Patrick Mahomes tweeting this because they're taking a running back again? And then they did it, and I've been levitating ever since.
So let's just get to the pick. Josh Simmons. I mean, I don't have to tell you, for weeks and weeks and weeks, tons of noise around him. Thought that maybe they'd have to trade up if they wanted him. And then yesterday afternoon, it starts leaking out that, oh, he could be ready by training camp. You're thinking, oh, well, there's no way he's going to make it to 31, let alone 32. And of course, he did make it to 32. Just, we can get into the nitty gritty on it, but what was your first reaction, Josh Simmons drafted by the Chiefs?
Once we got there, specifically to 32, by the way, that trade back, oh, A+ there, oh, just right off the top. Yeah. Cherry there, you have a 5th round pick now. Masterclass on that one. Great work all around. Love for that little move back. But once we got there at 32, I thought, hey, listen, if they either say Josh Simmons or Luther Burden, I am going to have an argument for being excited with the guys tomorrow. I'm going to have an exciting Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday, because I see those guys being potential needle movers. The way that I think Simmons will do it will obviously be very different than how Burden would have done it, or maybe how Burden could still do it.
We'll get to the second round.
I don't know how they get up there, you know?
They got an extra pick now. But I was excited, especially because I was for a little bit genuinely worried about Henderson going way too high. So I was very happy with that pick coming down.
It's all about
the
injury,
right?
Can
you admit a Josh bias, though? Oh, I was about to say. Can you admit a Josh bias first? Are you able to say objective? Because I've made it very clear in the show, I support all Cody's. Adult Cody's, it's a weird place to be in your life. 40 and being Cody's tough.
It's a good point.
You know, so like I got to support fellow Cody's for the most part.
You know, I had to think about it just now, but I am a Phoenix Suns fan, and so Josh Jackson was a name I had to let go a long time ago. So I'm going to go ahead and say that dream did not come true for me. I don't know that I'm 100% even keeled. I'm certainly
more
pro Josh. But I'd love another Joshua. Josh Williams, obviously, big fan of his, but It's a perk for me, Cody. It's a perk that he's going to be there protecting Patrick Mahomes' blind side.
The injury is the only question, it seems like. Now, I'm curious if you agree, because I think I'm in the minority in this one, which is fine. I think people always overinflate the, he would have been if it weren't for blank.
Right.
I don't think he would have been pick 6 if it were for the injury. I think he would have been pick 23 or at best 18, or he maybe would have been that same range that had decided between him and
he might have been 12.
Zabel. But like
Tyler Boothroyd went 12.
I'm not saying it's like overstated as in there isn't any movement in where he would have been in the first round. But I think sometimes they made it sound like he'd have been 1-1 instead of Cam Ward if it weren't for the injury.
No, but I do think, especially if you have the rest of that season healthy and him being on a obviously high profile team frequently, putting out like almost boring tape at times, which is an incredible compliment to give to a left tackle. I think we would have seen his stock rising in a way that I really do think it would have been probably around that 10 range.
Okay.
But because here's the thing, every prospect on this list is flawed. Will Campbell's got little arms and he went 4.
But what if he'd had a bad year and he's Luther Burden and he's in the second round? You know, like,
of course, absolutely.
It's like such an unknown to be like,
yes,
5 games into a college season, we think he would have been 10.
Yes, true.
I'm not even trying to knock it. I would have made the pick 2. I'll take the chance. My whole thing on left tackle is knowing what we all generally agree that finding left tackle at 32 or in the free agency is very tough.
Really,
and that's where the Chiefs pick every year. Not impossible. I very adamantly argue against impossible, but very difficult to do. Well, then you were going to have to take a risk. You were going to have to trade him in the first round. You were going to have to give Dan Moore instead of Jalen Moore a ton of money. You were going to have to, you know, you were going to have to make a difficult, risky decision. They went with the injury stuff. And I'm assuming that's because they've been better at that? Like, they've been better at identifying injured players and taking advantage of that.
Clearly last night, they're banking on the knowledge that and trust that they have in Rick Burkholder and the staff. I mean, that is what it is really all about. They believe when they
mentioned him on the ESPN broadcast, they mentioned Rick Burkholder. Yes.
Heard his name a lot.
The pick doesn't happen without him giving them assurance. I mean, it's just that simple. And so we're going to find out if they're correct. And yeah, there is a little bit of a track record. You're right. I mean, different diagnosis, but Trey Smith, of course, they took some risk at the time with that pick. Now, what risk? Air quotes. That was not a first round pick.
Sixth rounder.
Right. But there was, you know, so it's a little bit different. I think Buckholter with the Eagles had a patellar tendon injury. And so there's some history there. And maybe that led them to being more and more confident. I'm fine with the risk. I think for me, though, the 2025 training camp stuff, I'm very skeptical on still.
Me too.
Like, it would not surprise me, Josh, if we're there in St. Joe and like, well, we're going to take it really slow. We like what we're seeing, but there's no, he's going to start on the pup list. He's going to start on the pup list. I could see that happening still.
And it wouldn't bother me one bit. Because
it's all about 2026.
I think there's a chance he sees the field in 2025. Again, everybody go ahead. It's the fan club. Take a drink every time we say if healthy or how, depending on how the rehab goes. But I do think there is a world in which the college tape that we saw from him, if that guy is available in 2025, Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor are no longer like obviously the two best tackles on this team by a mile, which right now they are for better and for worse.
Yep.
The thing with the risk of it all, I was kind of giving you guys the tease on this right before the segment started, but the idea of the risk, it's true. Obviously, there is a risk that he is not the same player who is on tape because of this injury and that he never meets those expectations, and that's fine. But we say risk around like injury or character concerns. There was a risk in taking a very young player out of Kansas State named Felix Anudike Uzama, who had a redshirt year by like every reasonable NFL definition. There was a risk that he might not develop into the player that you want to see him be. When you take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there is a risk that he is going to be underachieving for that draft spot because you're taking a low value position group and you're betting huge on the player. And then at running back, there's a risk of injury playing the position. So the thing that I would push back on a little bit is the idea that Josh Simmons is fundamentally way riskier than any other pick at 31 overall. Luther Burden is risky at 32, right? Like, you're taking different versions of risk. In this case, the player, not a risk. Maybe you buy the quote unquote character concerns, or
that was a weird one. I hadn't heard
popping up.
That was brand new, right?
I had, the last few days it had come up a few times, and anytime you say, "Hey, what do you mean?" Everyone goes, "Meh."
I think it's the doesn't love football. Somebody asked if you were playing the new Oblivion. He was spending too much time in Call of Duty, whatever.
Right. I think Veach said, you know, that Reed and like Ryan Day had a phone call. You know, like, you just, hi, I'm Andy Reed. Can I please hear what you think about this young man that you coached for these years or going back to San Diego State? I have no real concerns about that. The Jeremy Fowler tweet was kind of odd that way.
Yeah.
The last thing, big picture, a lot of time I think we say, hey, they know better than we do. And a lot of times that's, well, Brett Veach has won a championship. Andy Reid's won a championship. A lot of times I think that is kind of a cop-out because we say, hey, well, I don't want to say that Andy Reid is wrong, but sometimes Andy Reid has been wrong, right? We've seen that happen. But in this specific instance, they do know more than we do about the medicals.
No doubt.
And if you're saying, hey, I'm willing to put this first round pick, 32 overall, into this guy where the medicals are the question, I'm willing to give him that benefit of the doubt. And if it doesn't work because his knee doesn't ever let him be the player that he was at Ohio State, he'll join a long list of guys who were picked in the 30s who didn't become superstars. I think the risk here makes sense because the ceiling is so high.
This is their way of throwing numbers at the position too, though. You know, we talked a ton after the Super Bowl. We all kind of compared it to the Bucs Super Bowl, whether that's an accurate comparison or not. That's what people were doing.
It was worse.
And it's how they went and they revamped multiple interior positions of the offensive line. Free agency, there was one option for them really to fix that, and it was Jalen Moore because Ronnie Stanley was never available. Right. Then you talk about, okay, well, then you got to throw numbers at it in the draft. Well, they just spent their first-round pick on it. Yep. So we're going to find out if it works, but in terms of, like, addressing the issue, they've addressed it. We're going to find out if it actually worked, but nobody can claim they didn't address it.
No.
And now the toughest part and the part that matters the most, we're going to have to wait, I think, like 2 years truly to find out because I think Juwan Taylor is the starting right tackle week one of this season, and I believe Jalen Moore is the starting left tackle week one. Now, 2026, if Jalen Moore is playing great left tackle, he still might be left tackle, and we're talking about Simmons being the right tackle. If Jalen Moore is not that great, then they think he'd be better at right tackle, then 2026, of course, we're talking about Simmons hopefully being the starting left tackle. They got a lot of options now.
Now, so look, if I have to trust him on the medicals, now this goes trust him on the medicals to draft him versus trust that they're telling me the truth on the medicals.
Sure.
Which are very different things. I want to be clear. Teams lie, and they have to as part of their job, or they choose to as part of their job. I don't know if have to is the right way, but it's part of the job, an accepted part of the job. If they're telling me the truth right now, and that he's going to be ready for camp, and he's going to start working out in a couple of weeks, according to Andy Reid, he's pretty much lifting school buses.
Right.
Then I think if that's the case, he deserves every single right to beat out either guy for the job, and if he's better, he should be the starter. And I don't care about the money they owe Juwan Taylor, not because I don't think it's sunk cost, but because I want the better player playing. If he's better than Juwan Taylor, I got to pay him $28 million, whether he starts or not. So right. I don't really care. Right. I just want the better tackle playing. I don't know if they'll do that, but like this is how I'd like it to go.
My knee-jerk reaction to thinking about training camp, if Simmons is out there, if that is a real competition, my knee-jerk reaction upon hearing some of those quotes last night was...
And you try to make it seem like it was, yeah.
Man, it's hard to imagine either of those highly paid 20-some million-dollar guys starting on the bench. But if he goes in and he has a training camp that is more reflective of Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith's rookie training camps, where you go, well, those are NFL players. Those are guys that need to play. I think it would be foolish to sit the better player. Right now, I would still bet on Gold's scenario of Moore and Taylor are your starters in week one because it gives you the wiggle room on the injury and all of that. But if he goes out there and looks fantastic, I would be curious to see what they would actually do. I think you have to play the better players. I don't feel great about where... Here's the other thing. Comparing it to where we were last year, talking about a training camp battle of Kingsley Suamataia versus Wanya Morris, this feels insane.
They're in a much better spot. They're already in a much better spot. But we've done this long enough with different conversations around injuries heading into a training camp where you know whether it's populist or not, I could just see where it's like. You know, we're up there first day out there. Who's getting first team reps? And it's Jalen Moore and it's Juwan Taylor. And we're like, Josh Simmons is out there. He's got his helmet on, but he's just kind of walking around the sideline.
Yeah. He's doing some individuals.
And then a week passes and it's like, well, now it's too late for him to actually compete, but he's healthy. Right.
He didn't get up to speed. We would have liked, we're going to try to get him up to speed. Yeah, no, that's by far the most likely scenario.
And I'm completely okay with that.
But if they're like, I hate redshirting players 99. It's the one position I would take the chance on, which we said. Which leaves us with the rest of the draft. They've got three picks tonight. They don't exactly own the second round like the Bears and the Browns do. And we can talk about the Sanders stuff because I'm fascinated by all that stuff too. But what do we want the Chiefs to do? Pretty simple. I think today I absolutely want them to take at least one defensive lineman.
Yes.
At least one running back. And then the third guy I'm totally open on. Could be a wide receiver in Royals. Could be a tight end. Could be another defensive lineman.
Corner.
Very open on the third guy. But I want one defensive lineman, and I don't know, based on Genty and Omari and Hampton alone, maybe a tackle, but a defensive lineman and a running back. Everybody agree with that's the the checklist, and then the third one can be a question mark?
I don't know how you get out of tonight without a defensive lineman. I really don't. I would be very, very surprised. I would like a running back. I could still see a scenario where somehow they don't because they say it's so deep, and Brett Veach acknowledged that he doesn't think the gap between three and four round-wise is that big at that position.
Sure.
My preference is, yes, running back. The one that I just don't know how they leave three picks, assuming they take three guys. Maybe they only take two. I don't know. Three picks tonight, and one of them's not either interior or an edge on the defensive side.
The defensive tackle is clearly my number one need here. And frankly, like one of the only players who I was like really, I certainly would have taken over Simmons if he had made it that far, who got a little bit close, was Derek Harmon. And really looking at him and Nolan.
Too many of the good defensive linemen went before. That's the other reason to like the Simmons pick, by the way. So many of the defensive linemen, the guys you would have been like good fits, were gone.
That's another thing. My tone might be different if they passed on Harmon to take Simmons. I'm like, man, I think you've got like that's a fair day one defensive tackle. And again, my next guy on the board there was probably Luther Burden. And that's a totally different ball of wax for a whole bunch of reasons. I think for me, Cody, 133, their fourth round pick that they had coming into this, I think that's the floor on the running back draw. If they waited
until...
So
you think all the way to the fourth, okay.
Maybe. I would be curious to see how it goes. I don't really want to get
that depth. You did it with the seventh. They haven't... So we talk about this all the time with like weapons around Mahomes. They put more investment in wide receiver. Yep. Still a lot of seconds, but they finally put the first into it with Xavier Worthy. But still overall investment in Mahomes at skill position players, when you consider both free agency and draft, is kind of low compared to the other teams around you. So, like, you don't have to wait till the fifth to take a running back this time. You can get more in the game. I want, like, Quinshon Judkins would pick 63 if he was there. I don't know if they're going to get that, but, like, I'd go that high if it was available.
And I think that's what I'm curious about. Like, if there's just no running backs for a while, if both of those Ohio State guys are just falling and falling and falling, and maybe the Chiefs are the team that pay a little bit of a premium for a guy that we all thought would be gone by 45 or 50, I think they may be able to try to wait on that window where Neal and Giddens both ought to be going, again, kind of that's the back end of that third, maybe that fourth rounder, depending on how far you get there. So I would not like it with the Snead pick if I was blind right now calling my shot. I'd say the Chiefs' own third round pick would probably be my ceiling on a running back, but there is a path for those runners to fall where the Chiefs just catch one of them in the 60s and go, oh, wow, okay. Well, I didn't think Junkins would be there.
I think my number changed. For a while, I was with you. And this is like some of it's doing the mock drafts and realizing the available players at 96. I do feel a gap between the guys who are currently on the board at that's running fair back and the guys who might be available at 96 and the fifth rounder. That changes my calculus a little bit because now I can move up in the fourth if I want. I can move that fifth round pick to move. Like that pick, it's so underrated because it like they had this like weird notion where it felt like they had no more movement left in the draft.
100%.
Once they got through pick 133, it was like they had no more movement remaining. They just had a bunch of meaningless seventh rounders.
Bunch of priority UDFAs, basically.
Yeah. And so like it felt like they had nothing left to like position themselves. Now they have an option. So like now I'm up to that like that Snead pick for running back. I'd be willing to go that high. Which means I'm pretty much willing to go as high as 63. Those aren't fundamentally different.
Right. Good point.
I don't think they have to take a wide receiver, but I assume at some point this weekend they're going to do that. Is there a receiver that other than Luther Burden? Because it sounds like you sound like you'd be open to giving up a couple picks tonight to go and get Luther Burden.
I'm a big book. We really agree draft-wise. That's concerning for both of us.
Also, Cody,
Harmon and I think I can't understand why people didn't draft Burton already.
This is very against my usual MO because I want to keep as many of those dart throws as possible. Burden to me is the guy that seems separated from the rest. If it's not a move up for Burden, I think it's either late tonight. We're talking about the receiver thing tomorrow and some of the guys will be available then. I know there's been talk about like him being redundant with Rashee Rice. I just don't think that's a problem. I don't actually think that's an issue.
Andy's ever said I got too many guys who run good routes.
No, I have too many guys.
How high are you willing to trade up though? Because for me to me to actually, and we can pull up the trade chart or whatever, but like for me to even consider it, he's got to be 15 picks into tonight's draft. I'm not trading up into the first five or six picks tonight to go get Burden. I don't like him that
can't
much.
Afford it. It's just like you'd be doing like the Falcons.
Next year's first.
And we just all acknowledge we think they need a defensive lineman. He would have to take a huge fall, as in we're pick 20 of this round or something.
All right, so let's talk pick 45. That's Indianapolis. That's like the middle.
You don't get Ballard there.
And the Rams, right? But the Rams got to pick somebody eventually, I think. 45, Indianapolis. Their pick is worth 450 points overall. Kansas City's pick at 63 is worth 278. So we got about 175 points.
It's going to have to be both of those picks in the 60s, and that's
It doesn't, actually.
Can you do it for the 95?
If you did both of those picks, they would actually owe you about 100 points back, which means they'd owe you their late third. They'd owe you their top of fourth.
I'm back again.
So you could, both of your picks in your 60s, if you're Indianapolis, let me find their pick. Okay, so you could, you'd be about 20 points apart, but let's call it a wash. They give you pick 45, you give them 63 and 66, and in return, you get back their fourth round pick at, where was it? Pick 118.
That's what I was saying earlier.
So you get 118 in the fourth.
I wouldn't do it.
You take those two, the second and the third round pick, and you go up and get burned. I might do it at that.
I get itchy right there. That's about right.
Yeah, like I'm not saying
it's right to the point where you're like, yes.
I'm not saying he's not going to have a good career or anything crazy like that. I still think if we weren't in Kansas City, would we even be having conversations about trading two picks to go up and get Luther Burden Jr.?
You know that I'm very similar.
The third.
I think we were talking about this when
definitely
we
came draft
with,
Jr.
with yeah. Neal and Giddens and the Kansas corner gold people. And like, I think that's part of why Binkley might love Ursary. Oh, Ruskin, local kid, went
for
to
sure.
high school. I
for
think
sure.
we all run into that. Yeah. I think Burden is an extremely talented player.
Yeah.
So like, I think for me, it has nothing to do with the Missouri thing. I just can't understand why people aren't taking him. But yeah, are there more people in Kansas City because Burden was a Missouri Tiger? Sure. I'm sure that that's part of it. But like, yeah, I don't want them to take Burden in the second. And then with that 133 or that 116, then they could take Devin Neal. And I'm thinking of the fifth, maybe the Kansas corner. Like, no, I'm not. I don't want just like a bunch of local players.
I here's the thing. I am not. I went to Mid-American Nazarene. My family are from Wichita State. I'm not really in the border war. I wouldn't
if they took a football player from Wichita State, I'd be very concerned. What club
concerning.
Football team are they playing out there?
That would be concerning. Mid-America's had a couple guys get some invites into like training camps and stuff. Still probably not trading up in the second for anybody there. but
every once in a while happens.
If you gave me Burden and Giddens and kind of shook out the rest, I'd be happy for the local fan bases, and I'd be okay with that. Neil too.
The only problem with doing that is that means you the person you were taking at 96 is the first defensive lineman you take, and you're like,
That's the scary.
Oh, and you're like, I know it's a deep defensive line class, but how do we see? Here's where I would like, and this is where I could do the trade chart differently. There'd be a way you hold on to 66, but you got to give up next year's second round pick,
right?
And in that case, yeah, okay,
it's different, and it's different being the Chiefs than being the Falcons, right? The Falcons could pick 12 next year, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. Yeah. If the Chiefs are picking higher than 26 or something, it's a problem.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that we don't have access to, the Chiefs already. Have models for next year to know, like they already know what, okay, this position group looks like. It's going to be a huge strength of the draft next year. What we don't have that in front of us.
I mean, I don't know.
You know, but
this is like Binkley asking me the MSRP of a Corvette,
but they do, right? Like if
yeah, they do.
You know, if they don't draft a corner and they know that maybe next year they'll have to draft one, but maybe next year's a great corner draft. And they're like, well, we'll spend a premium pick on corner next year. We don't care about it as much this year, vice versa. Like this is very clearly a very good running back draft. This is the year to go get yourself a running back, not have to spend a first round pick on a running back next year or something.
And a lot of times that value is going to just be in the cost you are paying. Like you're saying with the running back thing, this year's a great running back draft class. We didn't see five go in the first round. We're going to see a lot go today because they're and even tomorrow, because I think this isn't an original thought, but it's kind of choosing your flavor of running back. There are a lot of guys here who have like a pretty obvious, like a clear path to being at bare minimum NFL contributors. It's just what kind of guy do you want? Who do you want your player? Do you want Frank Gore or do you want light Jamal Charles? You know, and you of course hope that either of those guys become fringe Hall of Famers. But like stylistically, there's a lot of range and a ton of incredible players there.
According to one person at CBS, it appears quarterback and wide receiver are the depth positions in next year's draft. The quarterbacks are worth waiting for. They had four in this mock first round.
I think wide receiver might be deep until we die.
Yeah, wide receiver every year everybody's going to love.
Yeah.
Actually, this year's like weirdly thin. It's like
at the top.
At the top.
At the top.
Yeah, there's a lot of like good ones in the middle. You're right. Chunky middle. Isn't that what he called it?
Yes.
I got a little bit of a chunky middle.
We got Josh Briscoe hanging out with us on a Fan Club Friday. Let's keep talking some draft, though. What else is going to happen specifically with the quarterbacks, all the conversation about Shedeur Sanders? We'll also discuss a little bit more about the Royals series this weekend. That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey, Briscoe, do you know all the kids' names, the family names who lived in the neighborhood near you? Did you hear that on the way in?
I did. I don't know the entire
block.
Not
quite to my level, huh? But close.
But we had a couple of core houses there. And my family's house in Shawnee, we had basically an adjoining yard with the next door neighbors that basically built you like a nice 40-yard football field or so. So yes, the Morgans and the Caponettos and the Briscoes played a lot of football in that yard over the years.
Yeah, it's just I don't know why it stood out. He's like, you don't remember? I was like, yeah, I do. What do you mean? We lived on the same block.
How long?
We're a unit. we would have lived on the. He moved in. I moved there when I was six. And my dad lived there. Like, I lived there through high school, so, like, 18.
Okay, yeah.
He moved in, like, seventh grade, so it's probably been 25 years since I've seen that person. I was like, but you lived on our block, man. I remember where you lived.
I think meeting them, like, reuniting with someone and remembering them makes a lot of sense. I think your encyclopedic knowledge of, like, this house was this family, the Smiths, the Browns, the Johnsons, next level.
I think if you made me, like, if you and I went on a drive.
Yeah.
And we went through Gracemore. I think I could name 50 before I ran out. Like the exact house they lived. I think I could name 50 kids' houses before I ran out. Maybe more, but at least 50.
I think that's great, and I don't think I'm going to make the joke that I just thought about.
Somebody said that they're worried I have a touch of the tism, and I don't want to say for sure, you know?
Now, Cody, I'm really not going to make the joke I want to make. Don't join any registries, Cody.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. When we look at this, let's talk about what we saw. Before we talk about some of the other stuff with the Chiefs related, how about with Shadur? I am convinced some of this is just narrative, and I do not like the idea to be like, hey, you can't be arrogant and get drafted. And then I point out Johnny Manziel and everyone gets mad. I'm like, there's other arrogant players that have existed. Maybe they didn't build a custom set because they didn't have the dough, but like, other players have felt very highly themselves and should, I think, for a lot of reasons. I was surprised he didn't go in the first round. I think he'll be a better pro than Jackson Dart. I don't think it's like significantly different. I don't think you do either, Gold, but like, yeah, I kind of thought he'd go. I guess I think he'll go first tonight. I still think the Browns need a quarterback. They can't just roll out Joe Flacco.
It makes a lot of sense for Cleveland still because it's cost-controlled second-round pick. Like, it's the thing you can try to do while pretending you're not giving all that money to Deshaun Watson. So I think it makes sense for them.
Is that the least vibey city, by the way? For a guy who, like,
God, yeah.
For all the stuff he built and all the attitude, New York would have made all the sense in the world. Cleveland?
And, like,
maybe it ends up being good, actually.
Yeah, that's fair. And, like, it's not even just Cleveland, which we all kind of say with the same tone, you know, sort of disrespectfully. It's the Browns. Like, I was glad that the Jags traded up for Travis Hunter. And hear me say this. I know what these words I'm about to say. I'm so glad he's in Jacksonville and not Cleveland. I'm so glad he's a Jag and not a Brown. And that's, I mean, faint praise to the Jaguar organization.
Especially because they're going to let him do both. That's
but right.
I want most.
Like, that's fun. And he can go do fun stuff. He can fish in Florida. Good for him. Fantastic. I was surprised that Shadur didn't go in the first round because I kind of thought somebody would buy it, right? Like, I thought Pittsburgh made a lot of sense there. I thought even New York made a little bit of sense. I'm not buying that entire experience, by the way, and that has very little to do with Jackson Dart. It has a whole lot more to do with the fact that he's a third-string quarterback for a team that might not have the same head coach next year.
It's the Eberflus plan, which is the worst way to handle a young quarterback. I hate it.
I also think Jackson Dart's a turnover machine, and I think that's a problem. You know, there's plenty of issues with Sanders, but he doesn't turn the ball over, and we'll see if they can develop him. Whoever ends up taking him tonight, we've talked about Sanders throughout, and I think everybody. I understand he's extremely polarizing. He's brought a lot of it on himself. I totally get it, but I don't get the people that are glad he didn't get the rooting that he didn't get drafted last night is weird to me. It's very weird.
All of that's very strange, and I think some of that. I don't know the stuff that comes out from people whenever they start to like form opinions about 20-something-year-old athletes who they don't know anything about in real life, but you get the clips and you get the talking heads and all that. That's always a dangerous pathway to go down. And the thing with Shadur that's so confusing is, like, his literal comp is Brock Purdy, right? Like, that's probably the comparison you've heard the most for his style as a quarterback and his relative lack of physical tools compared to some of the tools of your guys. But I think if Brock Purdy was re-entering the draft right now, he'd probably be going about in this range where Shadur is going to end up. So I ultimately kind of think pretty sane all around. Again, I don't love what the Giants have done, but I think Shadur going 33 to Cleveland is probably about where he ought to go. He gets a little boost from star power, a little boost from being in a very visible program, and I think he'll be a perfectly okay quarterback, which right now would be a win for Cleveland, I think.
I think Steelers is still the best fit, but they don't have a second-round pick, so I can't assume it's going to go that way.
It'd be better for Shadur.
Yes, that's what I mean. The Travis Hunter thing is the most fascinating thing to me because I think we're going to get in an argument we've never gotten to get into in football, which is nice. Fresh argument, right?
Yeah, seriously, New voice. No kidding.
Which is, how do you live up to the hype of the number two overall pick that someone traded for you? But I said, but if you get corner two and wide receiver two, is it enough?
Yeah.
So if he's like essentially Christian Fulton, but also a 900-yard receiver, I got two positions for the price. Does he have to be a star to work?
As Maurice Jones-Drew said. As Maurice Jones-Drew said last night, we're only viewing the positive of playing two positions. He gets hurt. You're down a corner and you're down a wide receiver now. Congratulations.
Sure. I think all of that is why I'd be thrilled, obviously, if Travis Hunter was a Chief. However that would have happened, it would have been a blast. I'm kind of glad to get to watch that from afar a little bit, kind of like with Ohtani, where it's like, I'll let some other team be the one that figures out how to make this work at the NFL level, which is much harder, I think, than figuring out how to do it with Ohtani. Harder from the team's perspective, not the player's perspective.
Yeah.
What Ohtani is doing, I do. Hot take? Impressive athlete, that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good at baseball.
Pretty good. I know I'm more of a football guy at this point, but if I could give you one baseball take, I do like.
What's your Jack Caglione take? Do you think he should be in the big leagues right now?
I think honestly, it's offensive to all of our intelligences that he didn't start in the bigs.
Yeah, you know.
Don't
just get him right in.
See, again, my baseball takes, real surface level. Don't have to dig too deep for me. We're just jacking it. I think that what we're talking about?
Travis Hunter and how hard it is to do both positions.
I think letting him try to do both throughout that onboarding process is by far the most fun way to do it. I think it's probably the way that the Jags get the most value out of him. It sounds like it's what he wants to do. So I'm not like emotionally invested in the Jacksonville Jaguars being good or not, but I kind of see what they're doing. And I think definitively the Browns did the right thing by moving back and trying to get some more picks. I would move back again at 5 if I was them.
Who do they take? Mason Graham?
Graham, yep. Really good.
Him and Miles Garrett,
but
I'm sure that's a fun defensive line.
Absolutely.
Any plan that is, what if we win every game 9-6 is not a plan I'm on board with. I'm pro fun.
Yes.
So, and that's not fun. That's anti fun.
And I think the Browns might be 3 years away from anything. Just because you have the worst contract in the history of the sport as an albatross around your neck.
It's the single worst transaction in NFL history, and I can't imagine it will ever be topped. Because the idea of everything you gave up in draft pick compensation coupled with Gold, the amount of money you gave him. Like, oh my.
If he just would have been bad and tore his Achilles, it would have been the worst deal in sports history.
This is also what makes
American sports history.
But this is also what makes it worse, though, is that a lot of times you make bad decisions, right? You draft Achilles Smith, you draft Josh Rosen. You make bad decisions based on informed things that you're trying to figure out. You already knew about Deshaun Watson. That information was, it turns out, very public.
He has an $80 million cap hit next year.
Yeah, their owner just absolutely screwed their franchise over so badly.
I don't feel bad. They made their bed.
Oh, I don't feel bad for Cleveland. I have no reason to feel bad even for their fans or anything like that. I mean, it's Cleveland, Ohio. It is what it is. Sorry. You know?
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's Cleveland, Ohio.
That does feel like the
just like Cincinnati, Ohio, right, Drew?
Screw
them. Who cares?
If Deion Sanders really meant what he said about like initially about choosing, he doesn't even, Drew doesn't care anything about the
way you just, the way you just came on the microphone.
You sounded like, so beat. Yeah. Don't you feel bad now? This might be bullying. Go to HR. The way you responded, that might quantify bullying.
If you said it about Indianapolis, I would actually be pretty pissed off. But I'm not from Cincinnati. Yeah. I've been there 5 to 10 times in my life. It's all good.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Uh-huh. I feel an urge to continue bullying Drew and the Bengals now, and I didn't.
Last night was funny.
He might be in the building today. I can't.
Last night though was funny at our draft.
I was really impressed when they took Tyson Jackson at 17.
Shamar Stewart.
That's insane.
Because he didn't like the Shamar Stewart pick.
I saw that.
He agreed. We were giving him a hard time. We were saying it's a nice Ryan Sims pick. We're going on and on and on. And then an hour and a half later, he texts Cody and I and says, "You know what? I watched some film. I actually love the pick.
I'm buying in a little bit more.
Buying in a little bit. You've got a half enthusiastic me on your team.
I'm buying it a little bit. I think it's because
I'm just glad that Joe Burrow can't whine in November when his offense is great and the defense sucks. Now they can say, well, we tried to help you.
How did he not get sacks when there were like three other first and second round picks on that defensive line?
It's very weird.
Well, he's getting near the quarterback while everyone else was getting the sacks.
Pressuring him into Nick Scorin or whatever the case is. I think Shamar mentioned it as well. I like the fact that he was honest about it after he was interviewed, as every pick is. And was like, I need to work on my technique so I can finish the sack out. I'm lunging too much. I'm eager to get there. I get there, and then I don't quite have everything put together and how to actually finish the play. So in terms of the traits and everything and physicality, it's great. But the Bengals have done that before. I don't think they're in a position to draft potential and upside more than immediate production, which is what they would have gotten in Donovan Ezeraku or potentially Mike Green, who's still available, or anything like that.
I would have gone Mike Green. Mike Green point is kind of the thing for all. This goes back to Josh Simmons too. Honestly, Veach changed the number last night for how many first round grades they had. He said before the draft it was like 12 to 14.
Now what did he say?
I think he said 15 or 16 yesterday. Maybe. So who knows when he's ever telling us the truth, but. I think at some point you're just after maybe 12, you're just kind of picking your warts, yep. You know, in the Bengals case, you're taking the most like incredible athlete with a weird lack of production. That's the wart you're taking. For the Chiefs, it's a top 15 type of pick at left tackle with a knee that scares some teams off. Those are the warts you're picking. And it's only going to continue through today.
I was a little bit worried that the Chiefs would say, you know what, we're going to take Mike Green because we thought he'd all be gone in the top 15. Yeah. So let's go ahead and take this guy with 17 sacks last season.
I mean, at Marshall, but.
Look, Khalil.
Playing against dudes that look like me.
Hey, Cody.
I don't think that's true.
So did,
he's fine. I don't have a problem.
So did Khalil Mack, and he turned out pretty good.
That's true. I mean, don't make me point out all the bad small school players. You can't just point out the one greatest small school player of all time.
It's a favorite thing that we all do. We all do it in sports arguments, you know, but we all, like, it's someone like Mr. Irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Well, Brock Purdy was missed, as if that's every Mr. Irrelevant now for history.
Mel Kiper, you know? I bounced around the networks last night. Mel Kiper, every time somebody passed on Shadur, he was just like, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts.
He was so upset.
He was really going through it, man.
So he's upset. I haven't
seen this upset since Josh Clausen.
This is what you're talking about.
Jimmy Clausen. Yeah. Understandable mistake considering his NFL career.
Now, to make the aggressive
move. We always act like we're in the sixth round of the draft right now, which your hitters hasn't been picked. No. And we're still where Lamar Jackson wasn't taken. And the last time I checked the Baltimore Ravens, Hayden Hurst, a 25-year-old tight end at the time, and a South Carolina tight end. And then they traded back into 32 to take Lamar Jackson. We're going to pack it up at the end of day one and get ready for day two, right? There's Lamar Jackson. That list of the pocket pass. Johnny Unitas, cut by the Steelers, passed over. Right? Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right? Joe Montana went in the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent.
Having Michael Jackson in the background is amazing. Ryan Leaf
over the first Williams to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan. Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. They took him so far something for Jan Henning
pressure
over
on the
Matt Ryan. Hockey guy, how'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers in Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
There it is.
Fourth round pick. They're all traditional dropback pocket passers. I didn't mention greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
Well, he clearly is going to be one of those 10 guys.
He's going to be Montana, Marino, Brady, Unitas.
Johnny Unitas.
All we needed was Mel Kiper to do one of these.
Just
stand up and get after it, man.
He was
Come on now.
Upset they were passing on.
He was more upset than Bink was, I think, about Josh Simmons' pick. I'm not sure.
Kiper was upset about Simmons? I didn't see
Sorry.
Binkley didn't really, really did not like the Sanders pick.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
It's the fact that it's so matter of fact. He goes, I hate this pick. I hate it.
It's a great delivery. That is a professional right there.
Don't like it.
Be a hater if you want, but be good at it. That's a good clip.
And so he has not backed off of that take.
Oh,
either,
no. Nor should he. He believes it, nor should he. If you actually believe it, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. You can soften his stance after some further research if you want. Like, if he gets to training camp and Binko's like, I hate it less now that he's practicing in full.
Yeah sure.
The first week of training camp. People are allowed to alter opinions, but out of the gate, he just doesn't think it's worth the risk. And that makes sense. Yeah. Like, if you don't want to take on the risk, there were less risky players. I would say, kind of similar to you. At 32, there's a lot of risk. I mean, there's not a lot of,
George,
like, lack
Karloftis
of risk.
George was risky at 30, right? Like, he was like a high floor player, but the risk is he ever going to be a plus starter? And he has been. At this point, I am less scared of risk, and I am more scared of underachieving, I guess. And I think Simmons is boom or bust in a way that I'm kind of happy about at 32. Especially that fifth round pick is so nice. That was such a nice little move. You get an extra pick in your arsenal.
It's a free pick.
It's a payoff if you get it right.
Free pick.
So good.
The payoff if you get it right is that for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, you actually have a left tackle. Look, in retrospect, they should have. They should have paid Orlando Brown Jr.
Yep. Absolutely.
No, everybody didn't like him. They can do better. And look where they've been.
Orlando Brown Jr. should have taken the contract the Chiefs offered. In my understanding, they were going to pay him, I think, more than the Bengals ended up paying him.
That was their original report, is that after the deal fell apart and they had to make other moves, he took less money. But they should have. They tried to pay him. I'm not saying that, but, like, your job is also to get the deal done, not just offer deals.
Totally. Absolutely.
And so they should have paid him. They should have never let him walk. They would have been so much better off if they had just stuck with Orlando Brown Jr. as their starting left tackle.
So would he, too.
And Andy, that's true. Andy Reid said last night, the phrase he used talking about Josh Simmons, I believe the exact wording was a true left tackle. You don't get those at 32 without there being some sort of risk joined to that. And I think the idea that Patrick Mahomes could have a true left tackle. Like, I guess I would argue that Kingsley Suamataia was a true left tackle until week three. You know, like, that was the view for him. Josh Simmons at times makes it look easy against high-level competition. And again, by Andy Reid's eye, by Andy Reid's late-night breakdown, a true left tackle for Patrick Mahomes.
I hope so. I hope so, Gold. You and I, you know, we were okay. We were, neither of us, it wasn't like our top pick. You wanted
James Pierce Jr.
Did you, hey, by the way, if it would have been the same cost, you interested in James Pierce Jr.?
No.
You want to give him next year's first round pick for him?
Absolutely not. Yeah, what were the Falcons Rams doing? Falcons went edge Panicking. With both their picks.
Honestly, this is just, they're a bad franchise and they're not going to win with picks because they shouldn't have signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $8 gajillion deal if they were going to just draft a first round pick. And now they're just giving him next year's first round pick for an edge player in the 20s.
He might be damn good, though.
It doesn't matter. You can't win operating the way they're operating. If they got Penix right, I guess a little bit, but
they're trying to make up for what they should have done last year. They had Dallas Turner on their available and they took Penix instead, and they're trying to make up for it. That's why they did the two edges.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't mind them double dipping at edge. I do mind them spending a future first to have the right to do that when, like, to your point even, Drew, this has been a problem for the Falcons for like 5 years.
Giving up a future first round pick for someone that's not in the top 10 or top 15 is wild. I would fundamentally never do it. I'm not giving up a first round.
I'm the Falcons. I might be giving up the 12th overall pick.
You can't give up a first round pick to draft someone that's going 25th. I can give up a first round pick if I'm getting a top 10 or top 15 pick.
I think Pierce is interesting though, because before the season started, he was consensus maybe number one overall pick. Like he was that good. And then I don't know if it's the character thing.
See, this is the other thing. Like,
I don't know what it is where it's not an injury thing because he played all season at Tennessee, but he was like guaranteed top three.
Before the season started, that's where people thought he was going to be.
And Luther Burden was ninth. I mean, your play on the field over a calendar year matters. He wasn't as good of a player this year as he was the previous years at Tennessee. When you drop off in your play, people will shove you further down the list.
I'm still kind of mad about the Luther Burden thing. You said his name again. And I'm, guys, what are we...
I would NFL be interested in
Luther Burden. Sacks this year. He only had 2.5 less than he did the year before.
Hey, NFL teams, what's your problem with Luther Burden? Just tell me. I'm not a Mizzou guy. It's okay. I'll keep it secret. Just let me know.
Clearly, the tape terrified them from this year because he had an amazing combine.
They're not drafting Brady Cook. I think it's okay.
I know. I'm just telling you.
He wasn't even their starter most of the year.
I'm not saying you have to.
Don't take any Mizzou quarterbacks.
I'm not saying you have to agree with him. It's just that very clearly it's all about what his final year at Missouri was, because he was projected to be a top 10 player going into the year.
Combine numbers
had an amazing combine. He's healthy. Why else did he fall? Because you're right. The quarterback play, I get it, but clearly there's stuff on film from this year they did not like. Otherwise, you don't slide the way he slid.
But it is wild to fall in the draft because you didn't lay out some routes for Drew Pine. Like, I get it. Like, you got to motivate him, but like, I would say that there's always going to be players you draft that you have to motivate, but it's the same thing in like basketball, as you can't teach height, Gold. Like his physical attributes exist in very few players.
I'm not saying he's bad. He's going to be, being a second round pick doesn't mean you can't go on to have a great career. Yeah. There's plenty of examples of those. We just, you know, if we're going through that, it's just, why did he fall? I mean, there has to be only one reason.
His play. Yeah, I agree.
Just from
I think it's twofold. I think it's a little bit of whatever this, it's almost like with the AD Mitchell stuff last year, where it's like wide receiver character concerns. Now AD Mitchell has diabetes, which I do
that
too.
That was a wild thing to list.
It's also explainable for a lot of my character issues, by the way. Type 1 diabetes will make you act up when your blood sugar is low.
I'm like Josh's, you'll stand up for anybody with diabetes, right?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%. 100%. Mark Andrews, AD Mitchell, Noah Gray, you're on my team forever. Because our pancreases aren't getting any better. But like the reason that Brady Cook comes to mind also is like, I've heard that he made a good impression at the Shrine Bowl amongst like teams. I can't imagine that he's going to be drafted. Maybe he says, and maybe he's a quarterback you want to have running your scout team, be your third string guy who's in the room. You know, personality and the mentals of it all. I get it. I really do. Like, I think that makes enough sense for me that's fine, I suppose. But it just feels like Luther Burden keeps getting like diva smacked on him because he wanted to get the football. And I got to tell you, anybody who watched Mizzou was watching with the same frustration Luther Burden was watching with. Yes, get Luther Burden the football. That's the guy that needs the ball here. So it doesn't bother me one bit if a wide receiver like was annoyed because his team was worse than he thought it was going to be and he wanted to get the ball more often. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, how early do you guys think he goes tonight? I still think he's one of the first five. Yeah,
I was gonna say. Within the 30s. Yeah. So eight. Yeah.
Yeah, we're okay. I would be shocked if he's there in the 40s.
I think the Titans first pick makes a lot. Of sense. They don't have Cam Ward to throw to.
Man, that makes a lot of sense.
Luther Burden with Calvin Ridley, because right now it's Ridley and it's Tyler Lockett, who is a nice player at this, but he's what, 34 years old now or something.
Perfect for them to have him in the room.
Yeah,
a great. He'd be good with Burden. Obviously, he'd be good with Ward. And then did they end up with somebody else? Burks is still there.
I can't believe
Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson is the other name on the depth chart.
They should cut Treylon Burks just so they could forget about that era of time in which they traded him for A.J. Brown. Oh. They should get him out of the building so they don't have to think about it anymore.
That was two GMs ago for that organization.
Holy bleep, it
sure
was.
Two GMs ago.
Yeah, it was.
That Treylon Burks, Sky Moore training camp trade is going to go so hard. Just swap
is
him.
That? Oh man,
swap him.
It's going to feel so AJ Jenkins and John Baldwin.
That's exactly what it is. AJ Jenkins,
honestly,
John Baldwin too.
I mean, there's no harm in it.
No,
it's just like I'm sick of looking at one face, so I'll look at the other.
Yeah, you give Sky Moore in Tennessee. All of a sudden, is this like shifty route runner with big hands for Cam Ward?
We'll get the most out of him.
Yeah, go for it,
Briscoe. Appreciate you coming in studio, man.
Fun day to be in here. Thanks for having me. Thanks for supplying the fun of the club.
Absolutely. All right, guys, enjoy the round two and three, I guess, would be of the draft tonight. Monday, we'll be talking about the complete NFL draft. We'll figure out if the Chiefs address some of the positions we were hoping for. Don't forget, Vern's on deck show tonight, 5:30, as the Royals open up their series against the Astros. Up next, though, C-Dot and Rob talking plenty more draft right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.